Turn your Bibles to Malachi, the third chapter, and I'll pick up at verse 7 through 10. And supporting scripture coming from 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, verses 6 and 7. The Bible reads this morning, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it." 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive." On the basis of those verses, we like to use the thought this morning, it's all in how and what you give. It's all in how and what you give. A lot of times we're not even able to control ourselves, let alone the conditions or of the world or what somebody else might be doing or what they may not be doing. We must understand that every one of us have to work out our own soul salvation. We're here today and we very well could be gone on today. I was saddened to hear yesterday that one of my classmates and one of my very dear friends was shot and killed in a drive-by. Always know that you don't have to be sick to die. Sometimes just being in the wrong place at that particular time. And even though it's sad, even though our hearts are very heavy, God already knew. I pray for her sons this morning and her entire family that God would do what he always does. For whether we have a natural death or whether we are killed, when you're dead, you're dead. And so I hurt for her, but it's nothing that I could do, even if I had been there. Glad I wasn't there. Because sometimes when you're in the midst of a situation, whatever might have been intended for somebody else might be for you. And I don't know the whole story, but I don't think that it was intended for her. It was just somebody crazy. See a young lady sitting in a car and just shoot as they ride by. It's a sad way to go. Bad enough when you got an enemy to track you down, but just to be minding your own business and things of that nature can happen. We've heard and we know that in the course of time, and it hadn't been that long ago to where at least two churches we are aware of that someone went in and just started shooting. We are not exempt. We tend to think because we're in this small town and most of us know everybody that we are all right, but never underestimate the enemy. The enemy is always out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And sometimes it's just to destroy your spirit, just to hinder your spiritual growth, to hinder you from getting to where God would have you to be. It's bad that we can leave home and thinking that everything is going to be all right and may not ever return. Even though we left home this morning to come to the house of God, there's no guarantee that we all are going to get back home safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Now, our prayer and our thought is that you will, but you just don't never know. So I'm just thankful to God for this moment. Things are happening in the world and something so cruel and so unnecessary. So we must pray for the world that we would turn from our wicked ways and allow God to be our God, and we uphold his statutes and live by his word. It seems as though instead of things getting better, they're getting worse. I think now about the song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But that is the only thing that there's just too little of. Where did our love go? Do we not remember that Jesus commanded us that ye love one another as he has loved us? And we can love one another and not agree all the time. We can love one another and sometimes even fall out, but some way or another, we make amends and we get back together and get our relationship back intact. There's so many that are going through this morning, and so we give God the glory. We heard again that they're going to open up the government for 3 weeks, and you know, it's a bad thing when you try to use leverage to sort of force people to do what you want to do, and you have a deaf ear to what everybody else is saying because you already got your mind made up. We have some folk, even amongst us, that have that same mentality that if I don't get my way, then I'm not going to be a part of it. If I don't get my way, I'm going to see what I can do to mess it up. But I found out that when we were young children, that we found out that one monkey don't stop no show. I'm reminded of the little song I be hearing my granddaughter listen to, 10 little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and broke his head. But that didn't stop the other 9 from jumping. It is amazing how children keep you alive. Keep your mind sharp. Sometimes they can get on your nerve, but they are the sweetest thing that God gave us. The only thing about that is that it goes by so fast, so then they turn into us. All of us. There's not an individual in here that can hear my voice that was not a baby and had to grow through the time and realize that every one of us, after we got grown, after we got our own mind. And the thing is that when we look at the condition and society now, children get grown before they ought to be grown. And that's nothing new. It just seemed like it's more of them that allow themselves to move too fast. If they knew what we know, they'd take life easy and be a child while you're a child, be a teenager while you're a teenager. And once you get grown, just thank God that he allowed you and blessed you and had mercy and compassion upon you to allow you to get where you are. We have so many folk this morning that have gotten older, and we started talking about, now I done got old and my aches and my pains and this, that, or the other, but you either live and get old or you die young. But then when you look at it, you don't really have the choice. It depends on what God has intended for you. And we see that there are as many young folk or more young folk dying as older people. And I thank God, I found out and I have a mindset at this point in life that I want to just keep on getting old. Even if I can't get around like I want to, just let me get around the best I can. Don't never allow the enemy to crowd your mind into thinking that your aches and pain, that ache and pain gonna go away sometime or another. And one thing as a believer, I found out that if it don't happen on this side, when I get on the other side, hallelujah. See, that's what we're striving for, to get on the other side. And so we got to learn how to love one another. We got to learn that when we talk about love, we are talking about God's love, God's agape love, that love that is out without conditions. Love that is not based on feelings or emotions. And I wonder, as we sit in here this morning, do we have love one for another? Most of us, especially if you're family members or you're close friends, you're sitting beside somebody that you love. But just in case you're sitting beside somebody that didn't come to church with you, do you love that person sitting beside you? We like to say that we do, but a lot of time we tend to have that mindset, don't sit beside me because I don't care much for you. Don't take my spirit because I come in here to have a good time. There are those of us that are so thin-skinned and our mind gets so scattered that we allow somebody else to take our joy away. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to give God some praise. But today I want to talk to you very briefly about what and how we should give our gifts and our relations to God. I remember a statement that was once said on our marquee, to give God what's right and not what's left. What's right is being obedient to the word and the will of God. What's left is when we decide that, well, I don't have but $25 left, and I guess I'll pay $5 in church because I got to do what I got to do the rest of the week. Hard to make that $20 last throughout a week, because if you go by the grocery store, you got to do it by a loaf of bread and a pack of bologna, and your 20 done turned down to 10. It is amazing how we do that. If we want God to supply our needs, then we must learn how to sow cheerfully to the storehouse so that our needs can be met, because then we will have the resources to do what needs to be done. Too many of us louse out what we're going to give to God and what we're going to do for this, and it's all right to have a budget. But I wonder, when you sit down and you make your budget, how many of you put your tithes and your offerings first on the list and then add on the other thing that you want to do? I know it's important to have your mortgage paid. It's important to pay your rent. It's important to pay your light bill. But it's also important to pay God. Because whether or not you are still working or whether you're on a fixed income, everything you got still comes from God. That fixed income, that money that you're getting, God gave you the strength to work that time and to put that money in so that money would come back to you. So any way you look at it, we don't have anything if we don't have God. Now, one thing we can say, that our church is not our particular church, it's not a begging church. But it is my job and my duty to teach and to remind you what God requires. As we look at our text in Malachi, it tells us that the people of God had began to rob God. When we study the Old Testament, we find that God's chosen people refused to adhere to his word. They served and worshiped idol gods. Instead of serving the one true living God, when God said that I am a jealous God and thou shalt have no other gods before me, they allowed anything, something made out of stone, something made out of wood, something made out of precious stone, to be their God. Warning after warning from the prophets, they continued to be stiff-necked and would not repent and turn back to God, which caused them to go through unnecessary trials and lose everything, even their freedom, and many their lives, because they refused to obey the word of God. They were delivered and seen some miraculous things, and some were spared death because God is who he is. But as we look at this text today, they are reminded not to be like their fathers were. The Bible declares that, as you heard earlier, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. As we listen this morning, I'm thankful to God for our elders, Because believe it or not, on a fixed income, a lot of them pay more than our young folk that have a job and work every day. They are the pillar posts of the church, not just on spiritual matters, but also on financial matters. Because they had a different mindset about their love and their commitment to the house of God. It is amazing how we expect things to happen, and you got to have something to work with. We have people, and the children of Israel, they gave what they wanted instead of what was required. A tenth was expected, and the rest would be theirs. The offering was a free will gift of the first fruits. When the storehouse was filled, God was able to provide for the Levites. You see, we have those that call on the church for a handout. But how many of them give anything to the church? They'll try to make you feel guilty or make you feel like you are obligated because you are the church. Well, I want to let you know again, as you already know, this brick and mortar, these pews can't create the resources of finances to do the things that need to be done in the world. And I found out that a lot of times it's not you, the church members, that try to rob the church and have the handout from the church. It's somebody that we don't even know. We have some folk that are looking in the phone book and find different churches and just start calling churches. Saying they got this sad story and that sad story. And then their mindset is, if you say, well, I can't help you, that there's some social program that you might be able to get some help, then they want to talk about the church. Not talking to anybody in here. Now, whether you give a little, whether you give much, if you give whatever you can give, then you can have peace of mind that you're at least trying to do what God would have you to do. But I come to let you know it's time for us to try to do better. Don't allow ourselves to get so comfortable in our things and let God things go, because there might come a time that you, a church member, might need a handout. Well, if you have not brought anything into the storehouse, it's just like the bank. If you don't put anything in just because they got money, you can't go to the bank and say, I need money for my light bill. You can't go to the bank and say, my children are hungry and I just need, if you could just spare me $20 or $30, I think that will tide me over. But that's this time. Don't take long to spend that $30. What you going to do the next time? Well, I tell you what you do. You done called Fowler's Chapel and gypped us out about $50, $60. And so next week you're going to call Friendship. They know how to make their rounds. Any of you ever, and I know you have, because if you deal with people and if you deal with folk that always want a handout and want things easy in life, that they are those folk that they got a story. You better learn how to have a deaf ear. Don't have time to listen, because if you listen too long and there's compassion in your heart, something on the inside of you will make you feel like, well, this is all I can do. Sometimes I can look out the window, and if I know that's one of them that got the handout, I get mad when they tell them I'm at home. You're soft-hearted, and you have a fear for people, but one thing about it, I learned if you got me one time, you can come back with any kind of story you want to come back with. Sometimes, how many of you have ever had that individual to come and just to get rid of them because you don't even want to hear the story? Cut them off right there and nip it in the bud what you want. Because when you look out, you already got in your mind, you ain't giving me $2 today. Sometimes if you need some food, I go in the kitchen and fix you a sandwich, but I don't have no money today. I knocked on my double rib. I'm having a bad time, and I need to, some help with my medication. I said, well, I'm on medication, too, and I need some help with mine. And, baby, I just don't have it. You got to grow. Once you know you grow, and then you feel you have that mindset that I'm not doing wrong because I don't allow you to use me. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? We ought to be able to give cheerfully. If it's real and if I can feel that it's real, then what I give you, I don't have no other thoughts about it. I can give to you, close the door, and say, Lord, I just thank you that I had a little bit that I could give to somebody. When you can give in peace, when you can give and still have your joy, everything is all right. But now, if I'm going to give Darrell $20 and then I'm going to call Reverend Davis and say, Darrell done come by here again. I didn't want to give it to him, but I just gave it to him anyhow. There's not a blessing in that. So, the Bible says, we're just going to have a kind of talk and teach this morning. From the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. Malachi is saying what God has told him to say. But you said, Lord, you said, wherein shall we return? In other words, you're trying to flip the strip and say, well, what do I need to do? Or what have I been doing? So then Malachi comes back with the question, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. And so this 10th verse is very important. We hear it all the time or every now and again. And like I said, you don't hear it that often here, but you're going to hear it this morning. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. So bring whatever it is that you have so that we can put it all together. And in that day and time, they put all of those things because sometimes it wasn't silver and gold. Sometimes it might have been animals. Sometimes it may have been vegetables. But they put it into the storehouse in rooms and kept it. So when the needy came and when they went out to feed the widows, they had a package and they didn't have to ask nobody to bring some perished goods. So if we bring it in to where it's here, and it's not here to be abused or misused, but it's here for those that are in need. And those that are in need may not always be the membership, but if a brother is hungry, you ought to feed him, if you can. If you can't, and you know in your heart that you can't, then you don't have anything to feel bad about. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and there should not be room enough to receive it. Now, if I was in Bible study, I'd say what they're saying. You need to know what the word is saying. What the word is saying this morning, that if you bring hopefully the 10th. But if whatever you bring in the right spirit and you give it to the house of God and you give it to the ministry of God, then God is saying that I'm going to open up my windows of heaven and I'm going to give you more back than you got room to hold. What a deal is that? Didn't have to buy no lottery ticket. Didn't have to play the numbers. See, them $3 you could have brought to the house of God. I don't do them, but I'm around some folk that do. Looking for more than what you had in the beginning. But if we have the mind that we're going to give to God, then we'll find that God will give the very same thing even more back to us. Then Paul tells us, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What am I saying? There you go. If you ain't gave but $2, why you want the church to give you $200 to help you with whatever the matter is? But now, if you give with a cheerful heart and you sow bountiful seeds, then you don't necessarily have to go to the church. Somebody gonna bless you. I had 4 engagements yesterday, and this is just one of these times I'm going to tell my own business. A couple of them were birthday celebrations. Well, actually, 3 of them were birthday celebrations. And I went to the meet and greet for the new pastor down in New Zion. I think he's going to be a fine man to our community. And so at one of the birthday celebrations, I already had in my mind, so it says what you purpose in your heart. So I already had in my mind and in my heart that when I get out here to this steakhouse, I'm going to give Junebug about $20, $25 for his birthday because he's good to me. And as soon as I sit in my seat and get the menu, he said, me and Glover playing for your food today. I say, well, sir, no need of me giving him my $20. And he going to give it right back to me and buy my food. So me and the Lord say, keep your $20. Say thank you, eat, and everything going to be all right. See how the Lord works? They woke me up early in the morning to go to Winston to look at some attire. So we got all the stuff together. And when the man got through ringing mines up, I said, oh, no, I ain't paying that today. I want to lay mine away. And in the midst of laying that away, one of the brothers that were with me bought me a suit. See how God works? And then get this, I go to the last birthday celebration, gave my little card with my little change in it, and everything was all right. Another friend of mine from another church came. He said, "Say, Cade, have you had your anniversary yet?" I said, man, that was back in March. He and his wife said, well, we going to give you something anyhow. I said, you ain't got to do that. Everything all right. We didn't have no banquet or nothing like that. He said, no, we going to give to you because you've been good to us. So everything I gave out in birthday money, I got right back. Spent the whole day and not spent a dime and had about 5 meals yesterday. If you give to God, if you give to God's people and do the right thing, God will turn that thing around and give you back your blessings. He will open up. So if you give sparingly, you're going to get it sparingly. But if you give bountifully, you're going to get it bountifully. Every man according to what is in your heart, let him give, not grudgingly, not because you feel a necessity to do it, but be a cheerful giver.